must say, very well done for braving the elements this morning. The weather's not too good out today. One or two notices. On that similar vein about the weather, the warm space scheme that we're running, I've had a message from stewards to ask if I could make a request for anybody who'd like to volunteer to help out when we're running the warm space days on Tuesdays. This coming Tuesday, the 17th, at the moment we have no volunteers signed up. This is a service to point them to the community, I think, which we're really keen to provide. But without volunteers to help with tea and coffee, that sort of thing, it's really not going to run. So please, can I encourage you to think, if you're free this coming Tuesday, in particular on the 17th, and you can spare a couple of hours, I would be very, very grateful if you could help out. The warm space runs from 10:30 till 2:30, and normally we'd need four volunteers, two volunteers to cover from 10:30 till 12:30, and two more volunteers to cover from 12:30 till 2:30. So if you're free and it's something you feel you'd like to help with, we'd be very, very grateful if anybody would like to sign up for that. On a different note, after next Sunday's service, it's Chris's 80th birthday celebration lunch. Please do, if you're not already signed up and you'd like to come along and be part of Chris's celebration, please do sign up. There's a sign-up sheet just by the tea and coffee window there. So you'd be very welcome to join us for lunch after the service next Sunday. And one item of lost property, if anybody's missing a glove, we have a glove here. It'll be just by the donation basket as in the foyer. So, yes, and of course everybody's welcome to stay for a tea or coffee after the service, but you all know that anyway. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Frank Bishop to now lead our service of worship this morning. Thank you, Frank.
Good to join with you in worship, and our worship theme this morning is the actual and the potential. We sing a great hymn of praise, first of all, number 20, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. We stand on holy ground. Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. Joining all around. still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith receive from him. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place.
We offer our prayers of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge your voice in all creation. You spoke and the universe came into being. You spoke and gave form and purpose to its life. At your word, the men and women of old began in faith to discover your truth. In Jesus, your word became flesh, and your loving purpose was revealed in tangible form. And through him, you called together the first disciples and enabled them to receive your Holy Spirit, molding them into your church. We believe that you speak still, calling people like us into your service. Open our minds and our hearts so that what you're saying to us in these worship moments may help us to more clearly understand your purpose for us and more truly serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we bring to you our prayers of confession because you know us through and through. You already know our failures and the need of your forgiveness. But we believe that in naming them, we open ourselves up to your healing, and we are confident that you are willing and waiting to forgive us and lead us to a new beginning. So we confess the poverty of our discipleship, the complacency with which we view our feeble efforts, our failure to be wholehearted in our response. Lord, forgive us, as you gave your disciple Peter when he failed you. Call us again to your service. Teach us, heal us, and send us out again to be your disciples in the world for your glory. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as ye forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The hymn, Fill Thou My Life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise.
Every part. out and in, praise in each duty and each deed, however small and mean. Fill every part of me with praise, let all my being speak of thee and of thy love, O Lord, for though I be and meek, so shalt thou, gracious Lord, from me receive the glory due, and so shall I begin on earth the song forever new. So shall no part of day or night from sacredness be free, but all my life fellowship with thee.
We listen to today's Old Testament scripture.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servants of rulers, "Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down. Because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Now, between the scriptures, we sing a hymn about the scriptures, "Your words to me are life and health." To me
by my soul. Enable, guide, and teach my heart to reach its perfect goal. Your words to me are light and truth. From day to day they show their wisdom passing earthly lore, as in their truth I grow. Your words to me are full of joy, of beauty, peace, and grace.
Isaiah was telling us about his call. Now in today's gospel, we hear Jesus calling Peter.
The reading is from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Thanks be to God for this reading. Amen.
Thank you very much. Good to hear the scriptures well as we've heard them this morning read so well. Add so much to our worship. The actual and the potential. As we reflect on today's gospel, that's what I want us to keep in mind, the actual and the potential. Peter is introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. It's interesting that Andrew gets just three mentions in the Gospels. Peter gets a lot more, doesn't he? But Andrew just gets three. But each time he is doing the greatest thing you can do for another. He is introducing someone to Jesus, who is the Christ. And so he brings his brother Peter and introduces him to Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter, the scriptures tell us, and the word used suggests more than just a casual glance. He looked at Peter's inner self, and what he saw was someone who was far from being a rock-like character, someone unreliable, impulsive, who later on would deny and desert him. Even so, Jesus saw beyond the actuality to the potentiality in this blunt fisherman. You are Simon. You shall be Cephas. That is Peter the Rock. This is the same name in two different languages. Peter is Cephas in Aramaic and Petros in Greek. Jesus says to him, you are Simon, you shall be Peter. It's interesting, in the scriptures, a change of name often denotes a change in life direction after an encounter with God. So Jacob becomes Israel. Abram becomes Abraham. Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul. Mark and Matthew give a different occasion for Peter's name change. It was a bit later on in the ministry of Jesus, and it happened at Caesarea Philippi, when in response to the question of Jesus about who he was, who do others say that I am? And crucially, who do you say I am? You, my disciples, you, my friends, who do you say I am? And in an inspired moment, Peter answers for the apostolic band, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the full implication of what he had said would only be realized by Peter after the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus commended him for his answer, and then he invested his new name with a yet deeper significance. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That text has given more controversy in the long history of the church than almost any other. Catholic Christians say that the rock is Peter himself, the first bishop of Rome. Protestant churches say that the rock is Peter's faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. You won't be surprised that I go along with the second interpretation. You can have a church without a bishop of Rome. You can't have a church without people making the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and becoming Christian disciples. But even in that great moment at Caesarea Philippi, when Peter makes this confession of faith, we can still see the difference between the actual and the potential. Between the Peter he was and the Peter he was to become. Now that the disciples had got this far along the road in confessing who Jesus really was, now that they understood that much about him, he's able to share with them the future that confronted him, how he was going to Jerusalem to face suffering and death. Peter will have none of this. Heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. Jesus had to speak sternly to Peter, but even as he did, we can detect a playful pun. Out of my sight, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. You think as men think, not as God thinks. You whom I've called my rock man are the rock that is a stumbling block. This all too human Peter still has a long way to go before he speaks the mind of God, as he did when he preached the church's first sermon so powerfully on the day of Pentecost. What he is in name, he must become in fact. The potential must become the actual. But this can only come through the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But God will provide this for Peter. He is one of the great examples of whom God calls, he also equips. Of course, none of us would ever dare to embark on Christian service if this wasn't true. I wonder if, like me, you find this story of Peter so encouraging. I do find it immensely encouraging in my humble attempts at Christian service and discipleship. Peter dropped a lot of clangers, didn't he? He often sort of splurted it out before he'd engaged what he was wanting to say with his mind. He was a very human character. He was turbulent and impetuous. But Jesus sees not just the actual, but he sees the potential as well. And if we offer the potential to him, he can use us as well. Even so, when we get anywhere near to Christ, we are aware of the distance between our goal and its achievement. Paul knew well this gap between the actual and the potential, and he cried out almost in despair, didn't he? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. And we can't just paper over this gap. In his great book on the Holy Spirit, The Go-Between God, Bishop John Taylor explores actual and potential. He writes, both must be seen equally clearly, and both must be seen together. For when the truth of the other confronts the truth of myself, it demands that I be myself, but also all that I am capable of being. The Holy Spirit, he said, helps us hold together a recognition of what is and what might be. He uses an illustration from Michael Tippett's oratorio, A Child of Our Time. As the work moves to its climax, when the dawn of new hope for mankind is a possibility, the tenor sings with the chorus, I know my shadow and my light, so shall I at last be made whole. And wholeness comes, I suggest, by knowing our own Simon and Peter, our shadow and our light. So how, as Christian disciples, do we realize the potential to which we're called? That's an important question. Obviously, we have to acknowledge the contrast between what we are and what we can be. That's an ongoing process, isn't it? When I was a young minister, I had a wise superintendent who said, the old Adam may be dead in me, but is taking an awful long while to lay down. And I guess most of us can echo that. And as Paul put it, I've not yet reached perfection, but I press on, straining to what lies ahead. I press towards the finishing line to win the heavenly prize to which God has called me in Jesus Christ. So we needn't despair, even when we slip back as we press on. Let's go back to Peter's story. During the Last Supper, when Jesus saw so clearly his own death and hints at Peter's, Peter, as always, bless him, is quick to protest his loyalty. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus answers, didn't he? Will you lay down your life for me? Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times. Later on, after the resurrection on the lakeside, Jesus helps Peter to acknowledge his failure and to make a fresh commitment to his discipleship. Three times the question is asked, Simon Peter, do you love me? Significant that Jesus uses Peter's old name. He isn't yet ready to be the rock man on whom Christ is going to build his church. But Jesus is still confident that the potential can be fulfilled, that Peter can be the rock. So he commissions him to be the church's leader. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. And the good news surely is that our Lord gives us the same assurance that when we fail, he sees us not only as we are, but as we can be. That great master of apt illustration, William Barclay, whose books covered the whole of the New Testament and were a great resource to preachers of my generation and subsequent preachers. He has a story to illustrate what Jesus is seeking to do for Peter and for us. Michelangelo was chiseling a huge piece of rock and was asked what he was making. The great sculptor replied, I'm seeking to release the angel imprisoned in the marble. I'm seeking to release the angel imprisoned in the marble. In the words of Paul, for anyone united to Christ, there is a new creation. A new order has already begun. That's our hope. It's encouraging for us, as it was for Paul, to know that God can work this in his own, in our own experience. When he was feeling that he hadn't made much of a fist of things, Paul was given this great word. My grace is all you need. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And after Jesus had restored Peter to the fellowship, he assured him that he was the leader. He renews Peter's call by saying, follow me. Again, showing that he believes Peter will live up to his name. He really will become the rock man. And as we read the opening chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we can see that the confidence of Jesus was fully restored. Peter was quite fearless in his leadership of the young church. And again, if we think he's some kind of saint that we could never aspire to be, we need to remind ourselves, as Archbishop William Temple has reminded us, that to the end of his life, the process of making Simon into Peter was not quite complete. We've all probably heard the Quo Vadis legend. The old tale relates how Peter escapes from prison in Rome the night before he was due to be executed because he was a follower of Jesus. And fleeing out of Rome along the Appian Way, he meets Jesus carrying his cross, and he cried out, "Master, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified again." Peter returned to Rome and next morning was found secure in his cell. The legend has it that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to be executed in the same way as his beloved master. I conclude with a prayer of Bishop Lancelot Andrews, a scholar bishop of the 16th century. "Lord, thank you for my call, my recall, yea, many calls besides." Praise God that what was true for Simon Peter can be true for us as well. Amen. The hymn, "May the Mind of Christ, My Saviour." Prayers of intercession, let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks that you have called us. You've called us to know you, you've called us to love you, you've called us to serve you. Lord, make us worthy of our calling. We pray for all who are searching at this time to know what your call means for them, for all who seek to do your will. We pray for those who are testing a call to ordained ministry or lay ministry as a local preacher or as a pastoral worker or working with children and families. We pray for all who seek to bring others to you, for the whole mission of your church. We give you thanks for all who care for us in the service industries. So we pray for those who have been called to teach. We pray for all who have been called to keep peace and order. We pray for all who are called to the caring professions, for social workers, care workers, home helps, for doctors and nurses, and all who work in our hospitals, especially at this time when so many demands are made upon them day by day. Give them your strength and give them your grace, and grant that they may know that your blessing is upon them in all that they seek to do. And then, Lord, with concern in our hearts, we look out on a needy world. We so much see so much that gives us concern and even fear, and we bring that world to you. We think of the Ukraine and ask that there may be an end to this war, that a way towards a just peace may be found. We pray for Brazil, where there is political volatility at the moment, and ask that those forces that are seeking to overthrow the government may not be successful. We pray for Afghanistan and Iran, both of them suffering from harsh regimes, and ask that the peoples of those nations may be given the strength and the courage that they need at this time. We think of countries like Somalia and other countries where there is daily famine. We pray your blessing upon all who are seeking to bring aid to them. And then, Lord, in our circuit fellowship today, we pray for our friends at Macclesfield. We thank you that as a circuit, we are a family. And so we thank you that each Sunday we have the opportunity to pray for other members in your family. In the challenging times for faith in which we live, bless your people at Macclesfield and honour their work and their witness for you. And then finally, in a fellowship of silence, let us bring to our Lord people known to us that need our prayers at this time. Let us lift them into his healing presence. Lord, hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, because we offer them with confidence in the name of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn, O Thou Who Camest From Above. the pure celestial fire to impart. God, who has called you into being and called you into his service, give you strength in all that he would have you do, and make you worthy of your calling. And the blessing of the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest amongst you and dwell with you this day and always. Amen.